Well, good morning again.
Good morning.
Children may be dismissed for children's church. Adults, let me encourage you to find a Bible and open to Mark chapter 12, verses 38 and following. Our Bibles have a great deal to say to us about the believer's relationship to material possessions and money. And as we begin this new year, and with the encouragement of our finance committee, I've chosen to preach on financial stewardship or giving from time to time. This will be now the second of the messages I've preached this year, and focuses on a widow who gave in rather a remarkable way. Now, the passage that we're about to read actually is composed of two accounts which have been knit together by the gospel writer, probably because of similar content or similar elements in their content. And as the gospel writer Mark has laid out this story, these accounts occur late in Jesus' public ministry. In fact, they are the last words that Jesus says to people in general. From this point on, after these words, he speaks directly and specifically to the disciples to prepare them for his impending departure through his death on the cross. And so that's the context or the setting of these passages that I'm about to read. Okay, so Mark chapter 12, and beginning in verse 38. In his teaching, he was saying, referring to Jesus, "Beware of the scribes who like to walk around in long robes and like respectful greetings in the marketplaces and chief seats in the synagogues and places of honor at banquets, who devour widows' houses and for appearance's sake offer long prayers. These will receive greater condemnation." And he sat down opposite the treasury and began observing how the people were putting money into the treasury. And many rich people were putting in large sums. A poor widow came in and put in two small copper coins, which amount to a cent. Calling his disciples to him, he said to them, "Truly I say to you, this poor widow put in more than all the contributors to the treasury. For they all put in out of their surplus, but she, out of her poverty, put in all she owned, all she had to live on." Pray with me. Lord, open our hearts to receive what your Spirit has to say to us through the testimony of this poor widow. This morning I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I want to begin by focusing on the second account that we read, the one having to do with the poor widow. This is traditionally called the story of the widow's mite. Now, a mite is something very small. So we have a bug that's called a mite. It's a little tiny bug. But a mite just means something small. In this case, it refers to a very small offering. And so in verse 41, it begins by saying, "And Jesus sat down opposite the treasury." Now, what is assumed here is that you know where he is. He is in the temple in the city of Jerusalem. This is an artist's rendition of the temple on the Temple Mount, top of a mountain there in Jerusalem. And then we're going to zone in a little bit on the main worship part right there. The treasury in the temple was in this courtyard area right here, this outer courtyard of the inner temple. There's the Holy of Holies in there. But here's the court of the women, and that's where the treasury was. Historians tell us that in this courtyard, there were 13 receptacles in the shape of a trumpet, they say, or by that I understand them to mean in a funnel shape into which people could put their offerings, and they would come into this courtyard and place their offerings in there. It's interesting that these offerings were basically a public act of worship. People could see who were coming and giving, and you could pretty much tell how much they were putting in, too, because you know, they weren't putting in dollar bills or checks now. These were coins, so you could pretty much tell what and how much people were putting in. Now, verse 43, it says that Jesus, after observing, called his disciples to him. He calls them into a huddle, as it were. This is what you would call a teachable moment, right? He's got the disciples there. They're observing. They're making an observation. And then he calls them together to give them a lesson. And it's a lesson, brothers and sisters, about financial giving. From this, I understand that the Lord wants us in his church to teach God's people about how to give. It's not something, you know, we don't like to talk about money in church. We think, oh, that's worldly stuff, you know. Don't try to tell me what to do with my money. That's just between me and God. But Jesus sat down and taught his disciples, and that tells me this is something that needs to be taught in the church. And not only that, it tells me that our attitudes about giving and about financial stewardship are something that we learn from other people, from observing other people, how their attitudes are, and what their practices and habits are as well. So this is something that Jesus was teaching his disciples, and in doing so, he has something to teach each one of us as well. Now, Jesus draws their attention to a particular person in this lesson, a poor widow. And in so doing, he sets her up as an example and says to us, I've got something to teach you through this person. So we're going to make some observations from her giving that I think will yield lessons for us for our own giving as well. All right, so the first observation is this. I want you to see that the widow gave freely. Now, when I say that she gave freely, I don't mean generously. I mean that she gave of her own free will. She gave because she wanted to give. Nobody made her give those two coins, all that she had to live on. There's no law in the law of Moses that says you have to throw in everything that you've got. She gave because she wanted to give. It was of her own free will. And God wants people to give because they want to, not because they feel like they have to. Here's a verse that reinforces that in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 7. Paul writes, each one must do just as he has purposed in his heart, not grudgingly or under compulsion. For God loves what kind of a giver? Yeah, a cheerful giver. And so we should give with a cheerful heart. And sort of a negative example, I think of Ananias and Sapphira, that husband and wife team in the early church. Now, in the early church, man, they were on fire for the Lord. And a lot of people were selling their property and their houses, whatever, and they were bringing the offerings and laying them at the apostles' feet. The apostles would then distribute them to people in need in the congregation. So Ananias and Sapphira, they get caught up in this frenzy. They sell some property. They bring part of the proceeds to Peter, lay it before him, but they present themselves as having given it all. Now, their sin was not giving part, brothers and sisters. The sin was lying about it, and that's what got him into trouble. But look what Peter says to Ananias and Sapphira in Acts chapter 5 and verse 4. He says, while it, your piece of property, remained unsold, did it not remain your own? You didn't have to sell it. If you wanted to keep it, you could. And after it was sold, was it not under your control? Yes. They didn't have to give all of the proceeds, but They presented themselves as having done so, and that's what where the difficulty was. They didn't have to give. The lesson here is not that you should feel like that you have to give everything, as this widow did. The first lesson is this. We ought to give freely because we want to give. And the hope here is that we get to a place in our lives where we recognize that God has just poured out so much on us that out of hearts of gratitude, like Joan was saying, we just want to give back. It shouldn't be a burden to us. And we hope and pray that we arrive at that place in our own spiritual walk with the Lord. And I'm sure that you will as you get to know him better and better. So the widow gave freely, and so should we. Second, the widow gave humbly, I want you to see. Look at verse 41 and the last phrase. It says, many rich people were putting in large sums of money. Okay, so let's say we've got these trumpet-shaped receptacles there, and we don't really know what they were like, but if they were indeed metallic, like this picture, this artist's rendition suggests that they were, you know, you come in, you bring a big bag of coins in there, and you start throwing them in there, and it goes, you know, it's kind of like winning the lottery or something, like winning the slot machine, you know, when all the money comes out, you don't know what that's like, right? Yeah, right. Okay. It makes a big noise. So when some wealthy person comes in and puts a lot of money, people kind of look up and look around. Oh, so-and-so, they gave a lot of money. That's right. All right, well, then in verse 42, it says, a poor widow came in and put in two tiny copper coins, which amount to a cent. Literally, actually, it was probably more like a quarter of a cent. So here comes this poor widow. She was probably, you know, small, wrinkles in her face, you know, old worn clothes, comes in quietly, probably trying to attract no notice, and she drops in these two tiny little coins, and it goes dink, dink, so quietly, probably nobody in the whole place heard it. And then she kind of quietly slinks out. She put in her offering humbly so that nobody... not so as to draw attention to herself, but so as to do so humbly. Now, this is in contrast to the people that Jesus describes in verse 38 and 39 earlier in the first account, where he says, beware of the scribes who like to walk around in long robes and like respectful greetings in the marketplaces, and the chief priests in the synagogues and places of honor at banquets. Now, it doesn't describe these scribes in terms of their giving habits, but they were obviously people that liked to practice their religion in such a way that it would draw attention to themselves. You know, a holy person really should be teaching people about God and trying to get them to lift up their eyes to God. But they were teaching in such a way as to draw attention to themselves. And Jesus says in another place in Matthew, he talks about this kind of people. There's the two little coins. And he says in Matthew chapter 6, in a very similar situation, he says, so when you give, do not sound a trumpet before you as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets. You know, I'm giving some money to a poor person. Do, 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 do. Everybody look. Not supposed to give in that kind of way so that they may be honored by men. But when you give, do not even let your left hand know what your right hand is doing. This, of course, is a figure of speech. Your left hand doesn't know anything. Your right hand doesn't know anything. Your brain knows things. And you know what your left hand, right hand is doing. But it's a figure of speech. Give humbly. Give quietly. So that your giving will be in secret. And your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. Now notice, brothers and sisters, no one saw what that poor widow gave except for who? Jesus. Jesus sees what you give, and he sees how you give. And when you give to him out of the goodness of your heart freely and humbly, he sees and he rejoices and he rewards you. The widow gave humbly, so should we. Third, let me point out to you that the widow brought her offering to God's house. She brought her offering into the temple, which was the place where they were supposed to bring their offerings, into the house of God. And for us, it is the local church into which we are to bring our offerings. Now, I want to admit that there are many good charitable organizations that do a lot of good in our world. Some of them are religious in nature and Christian in nature. We call these parachurch organizations. A lot of people are doing good outside the church. But those kind of organizations are not the church. The church is the body of Christ, the Bible says. The church is the agency through which God is going to work to bring about his purpose, his kingdom coming in this world and until he comes back again. He promises you the church. It is the embodiment of his invisible self. The church that meets and gathers together as we are doing, as the family of God, and observes the ordinances of baptism and the Lord's Supper on a regular basis. And the Bible teaches us, and the widow illustrates for us here, how we're to bring our tithes and offerings first to the local church and then give to other good things on beyond that as God gives us the ability to do so. So the widow brought her offering into God's house, and I encourage you also to do so as she did. Fourth, the widow, we see, gave sacrificially. Here we get really to the heart of what Jesus is trying to teach his disciples. Jesus draws our attention to the poor widow. Verse 43 and 44. Calling his disciples to him, he said to them, "Truly I say to you, this poor widow put in more than all the contributors to the treasurer. For they all put in out of their surplus, but she, out of her poverty, put in all she owned, all she had to live on." Of this poor widow, Jesus said, she put in more to the treasure than all the others. And the question that begs asking is, more of what? Everybody was giving money, so our mind immediately goes to money, but she didn't give more money, did she? But Jesus says she put in more. More of what? It's pretty obvious here that Jesus counts. Jesus' form of mathematics is very different than our way of counting, you know? We think, put in lots of money, that's the biggest gift. But Jesus says she put in more. Even those who are putting in large sums. More of what? The widow, I believe the answer to that is the widow put in more of herself. She put in more of her heart in that offering than all the others. She put more love and devotion into that offering than all the others. The widow gave all her money. It wasn't much, but she gave all she had to live on. And even though it didn't add up much and add in dollars and cents, it represented everything that she had and all that she was. She put her whole self into that offering, so to speak. Can an offering of money, can a contribution of money represent a person's devotion to God? Apparently, it can, according to this passage. And it often does. Think of money as minted time and energy. You go to work, you give your time, you give your energy, you give your effort, your expertise, whatever you do, and in exchange for that, you get money. You're able then to take that money and translate it into other kinds of goods and services. So in a very real sense, money represents you, who you are, and what you have done.
That's why we speak of the offering not just as a way to get money to pay bills, but as an act of worship. Because when you give monetarily, you're really giving of yourself. Turned into money. Translated into money. A good question to ask ourselves is, how much of ourselves do we really give to God when we give? This woman gave her whole self to the Lord. And Jesus saw her giving and loved her for it. Sacrificial financial giving for the Lord's sake is precious to our Lord. The poor widow gave her two tiny corns, but she was rich in love and devotion for the Lord God. And in comparison, kind of makes paupers out of many of the rest of us in comparison to what she gave. Now, let me be very careful and clear about what Jesus is saying here. He's not teaching that poor people routinely ought to give all their money to God. That's not the lesson here. He's not seeking to wring greater contributions out of those who can least afford to give them. We know this because of verse 40. The conclusion of this passage describing those scribes who like to walk around in long robes and like the respectful greetings and the places of honor. He says, they are those who devour widows' houses and for appearance's sake offer long prayers. And then he says, these will receive far greater condemnation. So, you know, he's talking about people that go around and manipulate vulnerable people who don't have much in order to get financial gain for themselves. As despicable as that is, then they use their religion. They say a long prayer to kind of gloss it over and cover it up and make it look legitimate. Ooh, that burns Jesus up. He says, they have a greater condemnation even than many others. Jesus spoke about them, against them, in the sternest terms. And commending the widow here who gave everything, Jesus is not trying to shake down poor people for more of what little they have. In fact, the opposite is just true. What he's trying to do here is use the example of a poor widow who, out of the goodness of her heart, gave everything in order to motivate those of us who have a lot more to be more like her in our giving. He's really speaking to those that have a lot more, not to those who have little. The widow gave sacrificially, and the Lord encourages us to give sacrificially as well, especially those of us who can afford to do so. Fifth and lastly, I want you to see that the widow gave in faith, brothers and sisters. This was an act of faith. Passage in 1 Timothy chapter 5. The widow who's really in need and left all alone puts her hope in God and continues night and day to pray and ask God for help. Two things about this verse. First of all, the widow has no means of support. In those days, couldn't go get a job at your local convenience store or whatever. You were dependent upon other people, males primarily. And so a widow is somebody who is left all alone without support. And so by necessity, she was putting up prayers to God for her support. But second, notice that the widow, at least in this case, didn't seem to have any kind of children or dependents as well. And so, in essence, she's free to give herself fully to the Lord without having to worry about providing for other people. She can respond in absolute freedom in that regard. The reason this widow was able to give sacrificially because she trusted God completely to supply all that she needed. That's how come she was able to give. And it reminds me of the story of Elijah and the widow of Zarephath.
Do you know this story? One time there's a famine, and God tells Elijah to go to the city of Sidon, outside of Israel, to a widow, and this widow was going to supply his needs. She was going to provide. Okay, a widow, poor widow, in a time of famine, is going to provide for Elijah, right? So Elijah goes. He gets in the gate, and he sees, sure enough, a widow collecting sticks to make a fire. And he says to her, "Can you please give me a drink?" She starts off to get a drink, and he says, "And can you please bring me something to eat as well?" The widow turns around. I don't know what was on her face, probably a look of great sadness, and says, "Look, all I've got is a little handful of meal. I've got a little container of oil. I'm going to mix it together, make a little cake. I'm going to give it to my son. It's our last meal. Then I anticipate after that we're going to starve to death." Elijah's saying, "Hey, can you give me something to eat?" Now, what do you think she's thinking? She's going, "Well, yeah, this doesn't really make sense. Is it logical for me to take food off of my child's plate to give to this strange man who just come through the gate, even though he claims to be a man of God? Could this guy really be from God if he's asking me to take food off of my child's plate to give it to him? So my child has nothing and he's got something? Could this really be true? Can this be God?" Then Elijah says to her, "Look, if you give to God first, you do what I tell you. Not only will you have something to eat yourselves, as long as the famine goes on, you will have bread in your container and oil in the little jar, and it won't run out." And that's what happened. You see, brothers and sisters, if you give to God what God requires of you, He will take care of you. He will provide for you. That is the lesson that we learn here from the widow that Jesus observed there. She was able to give as she did because she believed with all her heart that if she gave to God, He would provide for her needs. And that's the whole reason that we're able to give in any kind of sense of the world, of the word. When we put God first, no matter what, He provides what we need. Does giving a tithe of your income up front seem like a long stretch, an impracticality, or an impossibility? Would God ask you to give to Him up front when you don't have enough money to go around to pay the bills and cover your family needs at the end of the month? Same sort of situation here. It used to look that way to me. But then I was challenged, people in church encouraged me, and I started to tithe. And I can testify to you, that was many years ago as a young adult, I can testify to you that I have never, ever lacked a meal. I've never lacked a roof over my head. The rent has never gone unpaid. We've never had what we've lacked. We've never failed to be able to go to the doctor when we needed to. God has taken care of us. Praise God. And I learned, you give to God what He requires and He'll take care of you. So let me encourage you to step out on faith. Try it. Test God to see if He isn't faithful in this regard. That's what Malachi says. Test me and you'll see. The widow gave in faith, and we should give in faith too. So here's the truth I want you to take home today. Sacrificial financial giving for the Lord's sake is precious to the Lord. God sees your giving. And when you give humbly and freely into His house for His sake, and when you give sacrificially and in faith in Him that He will provide, it pleases Him. It delights Him. And He will not only take care of you, but Jesus said He will reward you. The one who sees in secret, He says, will reward you.
Now, I can't tell you how or what you ought to give, but I do know this, that Jesus holds this poor widow up for us as an example with respect to giving, and I hope her example encourages you. If you're here today and you don't have much and you've been faithfully giving to the Lord, trusting Him to provide your needs, I hope this story has just been a great encouragement to you, that you're doing the right thing and that God will take care of you and bless you, and that He delights in your giving. This is precious to Him. And for those of us who have adequate and abundant income, the challenge of this story is perhaps even greater for us. For some reason, the more money we have, the harder it is to part with it, isn't it? How is that? I don't know. Jesus' assessment of the situation in the treasury haunts me. He says, this widow gave more. She gave more. She gave more love and more devotion and more of herself, more faith. She trusted in God more. And I need to do that. I don't know about you, but I need to trust God more. I need to give Him more of myself. I hope I don't just give God 10% of myself. I hope that we all give ourselves more to Him as a result of this widow's testimony. The widow's example challenges me to greater devotion and faith in the Lord, and I hope it does to you also. Now, the whole basis of giving here, brothers and sisters, and the fact is rooted in the fact that the Lord has given to us first. Is that not correct? He's given you everything you have. He's taken care of you. And more than that, He's given you His only Son. He who has given us His only Son, how is it that He will not also give us all things? While we're still sinners, Christ died for us. He gave everything to us first, up front. If you don't know that God who has given to you through Christ, I encourage you today to open up your heart, receive Christ as Lord and Savior, and experience the wonderful abundance of salvation in Him. Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you for this account, or these accounts, I should say, in your word that encourage us to give. We cling on to the little things that we have as if our lives depended on them, and as if there was very little to go around. And sometimes we don't have much. Help us to remember that our hope and our trust needs to be in you, O God, who provides for us. And that if we obey you and put our trust in you, you will give us what we need. It may be a small amount or it may be an abundance. But you will give us what we need. If you guide us, you'll provide for us. Help us to put you first in this area of our life, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.